How many times have you heard someone say, all faiths are the same? You just have to be a good person. Have you ever heard that before? We hear it a lot these days. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. Christian faith has some very distinctive features. In Christian faith, our God comes to us, not the other way around. He's always coming to us. We don't go to Him, but we do prepare ourselves to receive Him because He's coming to us. He wants to live with us so that we can live with Him. That's our faith. That's the Christian faith. If we compare our religion to other religions, it becomes very clear that God's coming to us changes everything. It makes everything in the world different. God will come to us. He has to come to us over and over and over again. And God, in His only Son, Jesus, lives with us in the sacraments and in His Word. And Jesus will return again at the end of time. Advent. Advent is the way we live with God, always preparing for His coming because He loves us. And that is why today, on the third Sunday of Advent, we're permitted to put on these rose garments and rejoice. The word in Latin is Gaudete, and we know this Sunday is Gaudete Sunday. And today the entire church all over the world recognizes that all prophecy is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Advent prepares us for Christmas. All prophecy is fulfilled in Bethlehem at Christmas. Bethlehem stands at the center of history, the center of all human history. There's a before and there's an after, and Christmas stands at the center. Christmas is the center of the universe. And we refer to all time before the birth of Jesus as B.C., before Christ. And to all time after the birth of Jesus as A.D., the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. Christmas is the center of history and the center of time. Now, secular society today is attempting to teach our children to erase Christmas as simply a religious holiday. And secular society is even attempting to do away with B.C. and A.D., year of our Lord, with B.C.E., before the Christian era, and C.E., the Christian era. However, you cannot be a serious student of history and literature and fail to recognize the center of all history. You can fill libraries with obvious differences in human experience, B.C. and A.D., the year of our Lord. It's the reason we say Merry Christmas. It's the reason we rejoice and say Gaudete. The distinguishing feature is hope and mercy. Hope for salvation, hope for eternal life. Mercy, as it's been institutionalized into our lives and history, the effect of this hope on human life and history is enormous. We live in a sacramental era. And sacraments are Christ, and they strengthen our hopefulness and enrich our culture in many, many ways. Jesus' gift to our culture includes orphanages, public schools, hospitals, monasteries, convents, and universities which never existed BC. And these are here to protect and enrich our human society as we live out that hope in sharing God's mercy. And Jesus is still with us, and he's going to be with us forever. You can choose to live a BC life, and a lot of people choose to do that before hope. However, once people experience Christian hope, they normally do not choose to go back to the hopeless region of history that existed before the birth of Jesus. Even in their own lives today, most of those pagan cultures have disappeared in Anno Domini. The reason for our joy, Gaudete, is Jesus coming and ending the godless ancient era without him. He ended B.C. Our readings on Gaudete Sunday recall John the Baptist. We hear John the Evangelist talking about that. John the Baptist, his life was given to announce the coming of the Messiah and to prepare the people for his coming. I want to invite you all to share with me a meditation on the gospel, and it's regarding the Apostle John, the author of the Gospel of John. So share with me now what we are now hearing with John when he became the apostle in Ephesus, where he probably lived with Mary, and has taken his mother at the foot of the cross at the direction of Jesus on the cross. And John is now in Ephesus, and he's becoming their bishop. We have several witnesses to this. And he's concerned to find in Ephesus many people from the teachings of John the Baptist who don't know about the full teachings of the gospel. And they believe that the baptism of John the Baptist is the real baptism because they don't know the other. And for the misinformed, it was as if the Baptist were the Messiah. Many people believe that when they even left Israel and scattered around the world, you could still find some of these. And that's what John found when he became bishop of Ephesus. And they carried this error throughout the world. And the Apostle John knew this was not true. So come with me now to look at this through John's eyes, John the Apostle, as he struggles to form his parishioners in Ephesus in right understanding of Jesus' identity with good catechesis directly from the Apostle. So listen to John telling his parishioners these words in the Gospel. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light. Now imagine John writing this gospel for his people in Ephesus. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And the apostle tells us that John became very popular in all of Israel, and people came from all over to listen to his preaching. He preached repentance. And even the Jewish temple authorities in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites and Pharisees to listen to John and report back. And they ask him, "Who are you?" And he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." Three times the Apostle John records John denying being the Messiah. So they ask him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? So we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, I'm the voice of one crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. As to John's baptism, the Pharisees ask him, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? And John answered them, I baptize with water, but there's one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. And the Apostle John honored John the Baptist, but his gospel has helped us to know many things, understand baptism, understand the identity of Jesus and our own baptism. And Jesus baptized us with the Holy Spirit. And he helped us to understand John the Baptist better and put all these things in some type of form that we can distinguish. And Jesus' last mandate to the apostles when he sent them out to the world was, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. That's our religion. John the Baptist was just opening the door and announcing the coming of Christ.